We're doing the book of Iyov, and we're up to what's called the 36th chapter, the 15th pasuk. And Elihu has been taking on a new argument in which he's trying to convince Iyov that afflictions are not necessarily bad for you. People who have it easy end up dying with their sins, and afflictions are a message from God. He's not telling you of like his predecessors did. He's not telling him you did A or B or C wrong. But he's saying at the end of the day, there is a message in the afflictions. And we questioned this answer of Elihu. We said that the book itself seems to testify differently. It seems to say that Iyov was just fine. And that the afflictions are not a product of anything he did wrong, but just a product of a conversation between God and Satan. A test. And Elihu, nonetheless, is continuing his speech, and he says in Pasuk Tetvav, Yechaletz ani ve'onyo. The afflictions are really in a person's own interest, because the afflictions will free him from a greater affliction, from the affliction of perdition. Ve'yigel balachatz oznam. And because of the afflictions, one's ears are also open. The person can also hear the message, so to speak. He can accept the fact that maybe he has to change course in life. When things are going smooth, we continue the path because everything's going smooth. When suddenly things go bad, when Hashem sends afflictions into a person's life, then he reconsiders. Hey, maybe I got to make a change in my life. So, Iyov, your whole system of gauging God's fairness, you're saying, if I led a life that was righteous, I shouldn't suffer. Wait a second. Who says suffering is so bad? Suffering isn't pleasant, but maybe it's good. Maybe, A, it frees you from the future sufferings of perdition for what you've done wrong, and B, it opens up your ears. It gives you a better capacity to listen, to accept that maybe God wants something different from you. Maybe you should be changing your course in life. Ve'af hasitcha mipitza. And you should know, Iyov, that even you have benefited from the afflictions, because they have moved you, they have seduced you, they have invited you to distance yourself mipitza, from the mouth of perdition. Rachav lo mutzak tachteham. Perdition is described as a place where the opening, mipitza, the opening of perdition is described as being tight. Perdition is described like this very hot furnace. So when they'd make hot furnaces in those days, in order to retain the heat, they'd make the mouths of the furnace tight, a small mouth, and a wide furnace on the inside where you could put a lot of coals, a lot of wood, and have a large fire. That's a description of a hot furnace. So that's the way he's describing the furnace, so to speak, of perdition. Mipitzal, the mouth is tight, it's a tight mouth, rachav, but inside the furnace it is wide, lo mutzak tachteh. Under that tight opening, you don't have any tightness. No, it's wide and filled with fire. So this is his description of perdition. So he says, you too have been moved by your afflictions, and you've been distanced from the suffering of perdition. V'nachat shulchanecha ma'le dashin. And what's going to be placed on your table in the future is something that's so fat and so full. You're going to have such a lush future in the world to come because you've been cleansed through these afflictions. Vidin rasha maleitam. And even if you've had afflictions that were fitting for the wicked, why does that bother you? It's to your own benefit. Because din u mishpat yitmochu. They will support you in the future so that you won't have to go to perdition and you'll make it to the world to come. So he's saying, your gauge that suffering is a bad thing in this world, who says? Maybe suffering isn't so bad. Maybe it is in your benefit. Ki chema pen yesitecha v'safek. Because God's anger has rested upon you to afflict you, and that's to protect you, so to speak, that your yetzer won't cause you to blaspheme. So the tendency of a human being is that when everything's going good, he forgets God. God isn't a part of his life because he has it good. When things start going bad, when he's in danger, when he's worried, that's when suddenly he brings God back into his life. So he says, "Ki chema," because the anger of God that's rested upon you, that's afflicted you, is also in your benefit. Pen yisitecha besafek, lest you be seduced by having your fill. Besafek is by having enough. When you have as much as you need, then you might be seduced to sin. Verov kofir al yateka. And once you're seduced to sin, so then as much as you'll try to pay your way out of perdition, you won't get out. Kofir is to pay off, to try and redeem yourself. That's not going to work. Once you've sinned, once you've gotten off the path, then even a lot of afflictions won't save you from perdition. So these afflictions also help to protect you from your desire for sin. When a person is suffering, then he's, so to speak, he's more protected from sinning. Notice that he's really contradicting himself. Because earlier he said, Eov, your rebellion against God is all a product of your suffering. So where has his suffering protected him from sin? If suffering is supposed to protect him from sin, in this case, his suffering is what caused him to sin, which Elihu himself said earlier. Okay, but we'll ignore that for now. Haya aruch shuacha lo vitzar. Do you think that your power is something that will last forever? Haya aruch shuacha. Shuacha is your power, your position of power. Do you think that that's set up? Ya'aruch is to set it up. Do you think your power has been set up lo vitzar, so that you'll never have to suffer, it'll never be diminished? V'chol ma'amatzei choach. And all strength, do you think that... do you think that it would be good for you? Do you think that God would set you up with only good times, and you won't have a period of difficulties? It's not good. If things are only good, then you don't stay on God's path. So v'chol ma'amatzei choach, and so to all people who have great strength, every person has their period of affliction in life, and that's what keeps him in line. If things go too smoothly for a person, then he doesn't stay in line. And this is a point we have to remember in our lives. Every person has a few great difficulties in his life. For some people it could be financial. For some people it could be in their relationship with their spouse, with their kids. For some people it could be their health or a close relative's health. Every person has a few great difficulties in his life. Not small difficulties. In Yiddish we call it every person's pekel. Every person's little package. It's as though in heaven they prepare a package for each person. When you're young, you imagine that, this person that has this problem, that person has that problem, but in general, people's lives are calm and okay. It's not like that. Every person has their package. Every person has their challenges, and sometimes a challenge can be a lifetime. Sometimes a challenge can be a decade. Different people have different challenges. Usually challenges are things that affect a person for life. And so what But Elihu is telling Eov now, he's saying, Haya'aroch shuacha, do you think that God set up your table, God set up your strength, lo v'tzal, that you'd never be afflicted, because you were a good person, so everything would just be hunky-dory for life, and you'd die in peace, and you'd have all this wealth, and all the power, and all the good that you had, that would last you a lifetime, that's not good for you either. V'chol ma'amatzei koch, and so too you see by all people who have strength, everyone has their period of tragedy, of challenges, of difficulty in their life, and you're no different, Eov. You were a good person, you led a good life, and God gave you a good life, and now God gave you difficulty. That's the way of life. Every person has certain difficulties in their life, and it's to their benefit, because if people did not, then at some point they'd get tired of God. At some point they'd feel like they don't need God in their life, because the nature of man is that when things are going well, then there's less room in his mind for God. In his mind, he feels like, I don't need God, everything's okay. I have my health, I have my wealth, I have my family. Everything's okay. Yeah, I'll provide lip service, I'll go to shul, I'll play the role. But at the end of the day, am I really talking to God? How much do I need Him? What am I talking to Him about? And so, when a person has it good, that causes him to slip away from his Creator. So it is in a person's own benefit, which is the theme that Elihu is pushing here, that it is in a person's own benefit that he has periods of suffering in his life. Yes?
So if we haven't had serious suffering, we should be worried. This is coming?
You should recognize that it's a part of life, and no one knows when it's going to come.
When it's going to come?
The way of life? I don't know of any person that led a life without difficulty. Find one.
I've had difficulty.
You're young. Usually it happens later in life. Usually these are challenges that happen when you have bigger things in your life. It could be for one person, it's the fact that he never gets married. That could be his big difficulty. For another guy, it could be the fact that he doesn't have kids. For a third guy, it could be health issues with his kids. For a fourth guy, it could be health issues with his wife. For a fifth guy, it could be marital issues. For a sixth guy, it could be religious issues that suddenly his kids have all kinds of questions. For another guy, it could be that he can't find parnasa. For another guy, it's losing his job and spending 10 years without a source of income. You know, different people have different challenges. But life is about challenges. No one leads a life without challenges. No such thing. And a person has to be prepared for that. That's a part of life.
So you shouldn't try to avoid them. You should just live your life.
We always try to avoid them. We always try to avoid them. No one's asking for trouble. We always try to stay away from it. But when things happen that are beyond our control, a person can't turn to God and say, why'd you do this to me? No. You have to know it's part of life. Every person has it. And the philosophy behind it, here in Elihu's words, we're seeing one attitude. That if we didn't have challenges in our life, if we didn't have difficulties, if life were just smooth sailing, we wouldn't be believers, we wouldn't be connected to God.
But somebody shouldn't, I think it's natural to be like, God, why? What did I do to deserve this? Like, did the person necessarily do something to deserve it, or could it just be that this is what he was going to get? Like, so, you know, like,
let's wait and see. That is the question of this whole book. So at the onset of the book, it seems like you could be a perfect person like Eo, where God says, look at how whole he is, and yet God gives him all these terrible afflictions, the worst afflictions that could ever be. That's what it says at the onset of the book. Elihu is claiming that, no, this is a part of life, and it's a normal part of life, and it's to our benefit that God made the world this way. His point is, you keep questioning God, Eov. You keep saying God's not fair because I'm suffering. Well, that's an assumption, that suffering is something bad that you shouldn't get if you're good. So first he tackled the point that just because you're good doesn't mean you deserve anything. And now he's tackling the point that who says that suffering is actually bad? Yes?
So when we get to suffering, should we thank God that we get to suffering?
Chazal say there are different levels. Chazal say, Eov suffered and yelled, Aaron suffered and was silent, King David suffered and praised and thanked God for it. Odecha Hashem ki anafta bi. I thank you, God, that you punished me. That was the great level of David HaMelech. But it says Aaron wasn't on that level, Eov wasn't on that level, and they were huge. I don't know if a person can imagine being on that level. We can imagine, we can aspire. Pasuk Chaf. אל תשאף הלילה לעלות עמים תחתם. And he says, don't desire to have tranquility throughout your life. Because if you look at world history, the periods in history where things were completely tranquil, those were the periods where God had to bring the greatest destruction. Al tishaf halayla. Don't desire this peacefulness and tranquility of no challenges and no problems, because that is ultimately destruction and dark like the night. Because if you look at the nations, look at the Sodomites, Sodom and Amorah, they had all the things you could imagine. They had all the crops you could imagine, all the wealth you could imagine. They didn't need anyone. They were self-sufficient, and they were living on the Fertile Crescent. They had everything. They were living, not by the Fertile Crescent, they were living by the Jordanian Valley. They had everything. They had the Jordan, they had the water, they had the gold, the silver, they had the crops, they had everything. What happened? That led them to be a cruel society that ultimately, in a flash, was totally destroyed. So don't desire eternal tranquility, Eov. It's not good for you. Al tishaf. Don't desire the eternal tranquility, because it is halayla. That is really like the night. It is really something that will give darkness in your life. La'alot amim tachtam. Just as these nations that they were destroyed in their spot, in one spot, in a second, in a flash, Sodom and Amorah were destroyed. How did it come to that? Because they had tranquility. They didn't have these messages from God, repent. They didn't have things go bad in their lives. Everything was going smoothly. So it reached a point where God said, enough evil, enough. I've given them all the good in the world, and they've only become more evil from it.
Hishamer al tefen el aven.
Eov, watch yourself from now on. Don't turn to wickedness. Don't turn towards God and have claims that He is unfair.
Ki al ze bacharta me'oni.
Because until now, I know that was your choice. You preferred to choose to, so to speak, invite God to justice, invite God to a court case, because you kept saying, I'm willing to take God on. I'm right. This is wrong. This isn't fair. Ki al ze bachalta, because until now this has been your choice, me'oni, rather than humbling yourself before God. Don't make that choice.
Hein el yasgiv bechocho.
Why shouldn't you humble yourself before God? His power is so great.
Michamohu more.
There are none like God who can do whatever He wants. He could make it good for a person. He could make it bad for a person. None can be like Him. So why should you take Him on?
Mifakad alav darko.
Who could tell God what to do? Who could tell Him what's fair and what's unfair?
Umi amal pa'al tavla.
He's not like a human king where advisors could tell Him, do this, do that. This is fair, this isn't fair. No one could tell God, you're being fair, you're being unfair, and therefore, there are none like God, and you have no choice. He's the one running the show, so humble yourself before Him. And this is where we'll pick up, Bezat Hashem, next time.